Thank you, Jordan. Going by the published title of my talk in your book, you might think you're in the wrong session, or I am. But I want to assure you that I'm speaking relative to irrigated systems from our experience in Nebraska to illustrate from some case study, long-term studies, case studies that we've done in research, the interconnection between irrigation and nitrogen management. All of this is for maize systems, so a bit of a change of pace from what you've been hearing and we'll hear later in the session. We're talking about irrigated maize in Nebraska. Just to back up a little bit, I'd like to acknowledge a range of co-authors. These are students and colleagues who have contributed to this research over the years. And my role is I'm an extension soil specialist and professor of soil science at the University of Nebraska. I'll start here. This is data from two different data sets. The one on the left is an illustration of trends in nitrogen use efficiency for maize in Nebraska, basically post-war era from the 1960s on. In this case, nitrogen use efficiency is measured and expressed as partial factor productivity for fertilizer nitrogen. So the kilograms of grain that are produced per kilogram of fertilizer nitrogen input. And the major trend is very positive. We've more or less doubled the efficiency with which we use nitrogen fertilizer over the last 40 to 50 years. And that's not unique to Nebraska. We see those trends nationwide as well. To the point that currently we're in the range of around 65 kilograms of grain for every kilogram of N that we provide as an input as fertilizer. This red line illustrates, though perhaps a trend, this is not necessarily statistically important, but raises a flag as to perhaps there are trends for plateauing in terms of efficiency. And if we look at the figure on the right side then, this is a subset. I might back up. The first figure on the left is all corn grown in Nebraska, rain-fed and irrigated. The figure on the right is from a groundwater management area in the central part of the state in the Central Platte Natural Resources District, an area that farmers have to report to the district every year their fertilizer application and yields. And so this data is calculated from those producer reports. And in that management area, basically there is no significant improvement in end-use efficiency by this expression over the last 20 years. Now, this area did start at a higher level of efficiency than perhaps we had statewide 20 years ago, but it's raising the question, are we, again, starting to plateau in terms of how efficiently we use nitrogen fertilizer? So that is a starting point. I do want to make several kind of overarching comments, and then I'll get into some of our case studies. Water and nitrogen use efficiencies are tightly coupled, and this is not anything new to you, but we do see that deficiency or excess of one or the other will significantly influence how efficiently we use the other input. So any successful nitrogen recommendation program has to be sensitive to water, either in excess or deficit. In irrigated systems, we have the capacity to control that a little better than further east in the Corn Belt. We have a situation emerging where growers in Nebraska and other parts of the country are moving to the capacity to control nitrogen and water inputs over space and time with variable rate irrigation and variable rate fertilization systems. So the challenge is how to take advantage of the agronomic potential for those engineering capacities. So an ideal system for nitrogen and water would allow us to supply just the right rate of both inputs at the right time. One of the advantages to sensor-based nitrogen management, are several that I will list here, relate to irrigated versus rain-fed systems. The irrigated environment first reduces the risk of water stress, at least where you have adequate water supplies. So the likelihood of N supply being the next most limiting factor influencing yield is higher. In mineralization during the growing season, we tend to see more stability too. If we can maintain a fairly constant soil water environment, then we can expect year in and year out fairly representative uniform levels of mineralization. As we move west in the Corn Belt into Nebraska, the likelihood that we'll have a period of extended period of wet weather that keeps us out of the field so that we can use high-clearance vehicle-based sensors is less, so we have a longer window with which to use these systems. Sprinkler irrigation allows us the option to incorporate surface-applied fertilizers. And then finally, in an irrigated environment, our yield levels usually are higher, so we have more to play with higher end rates that we can manage. This is where many growers are in Nebraska, using this particular system is the John Deere Field Connect, but a range of sensor-based systems where they are monitoring soil water content and scheduling their irrigation based on these sensors. So at some point, and I'm not sure whether these increases in soil water content are related to an irrigation or a rainfall event, but there is a trigger point at which they would like to not drop their soil water stored water below that point, so that triggers an irrigation unless rainfall comes along. We'd like to move to that capacity for nitrogen as well. We don't quite have the instrumentation, but we are getting there with some of the sensors that I'll be talking about. One challenge is that this is a point measurement. These sensors, at least in terms of these capacitance soil water measurements, are not something you can have scattered throughout the field. We sometimes do that in our research, but a grower is not going to be able to afford that. So we have to be able to measure at what we consider to be representative points in the field to be able to accurately manage the entire field, and then either to model or measure if we are trying to do something spatially, both in terms of water and eventually nitrogen. This is just an illustration of the vehicle that we've used over the last decade or so and some of our sensor-based research with a range of the sensors that we use on this. From the research that started in about 1998, 99, along in there, we've had a range of outcomes. One is the development of an algorithm for the use of a particular sensor by which we would control nitrogen application. This is a high-clearance vehicle-based sensor for use at the 10 to 14-leaf growth stage of maize. A more recent algorithm that's been published, it takes this a step further with more flexibility, the option for a grower to provide inputs that allows him to fine-tune the algorithm for his environment. In our research, we've been very fortunate to be able to work with growers who allow us to use large areas of their fields for detailed studies. So we work at field scale, and in many cases these studies would occupy 20 to 40 acres of a field for a grower. In this case, I'll pull up where we've imposed our treatments, field length treatments that include a range of N rates or treatment approaches. So the data that I will show you in the next figure is from studies like this conducted on growers' fields over a period of 2 to 3 years. Now this is a busy slide, and I recognize that there's quite a bit here, and I'll step you through one figure, and then the other five figures are basically the same for other sites, other years. So in the upper left-hand corner on the x-axis, we have treatments. These are treatments imposed at field length scale. 45 at planting is 45 kilograms of N per hectare at planting, and that's the total amount of N that was applied uniformly. Our N reference is something that we use to calibrate the sensors to create a reference that is not stressed for nitrogen. Typically, that's in a rate range of 200 to 250 kilograms of N per hectare. The UNL recommendation is a soil test-based N rate. So it's based on soil organic matter, soil residual nitrate, and a historic yield level for the field from the grower. And then our two sensor-based treatments are these here, 45 pounds or kilograms N per hectare at planting plus in-season application. and then 90 kilograms of N per hectare plus in-season application. The bars are yield, so grain yield and tons per hectare. And then the markers are on the left y-axis, the total N rate applied in kilograms of N per hectare. These two sites, BR07 and BR08, are very sandy, coarse-textured sites. And basically what we learned on these two sites were that if we stress the crop too early, we cannot recover that with in-season application. And in so doing that, trying to recover our N status, we tended to not be able to achieve the highest or the yield that we would like to with same level of N. So either we applied the same amounts of N with no difference in yield, or in some cases more nitrogen than our soil test based approach on these sandy sites. So those are examples of where our algorithm that we developed primarily on silt loam textured soils needed some adjustment for these sandy environments. These next two fields are on silt loam textured soils, the primary environment from which the algorithm was developed, and represent the type of potential that exists for sensor-based treatments when the algorithm is properly calibrated to those sites. In both site years, the yields were the same for our sensor-based as for the soil test-based treatments, often with significant reductions in the total amount of fertilizer N that was applied. And then the last two examples are on silt loam fields, but situations where we basically had little or no response to nitrogen fertilizer, or very little variability in the field. So examples of situations where either response to N fertilizer was minimal or we did not see any benefit to variable rate input whatsoever. The second study is a preliminary study that we did in the south central part of the state with a newly installed at that time subsurface drip irrigation system. What we were attempting to do is explore the potential for sensors to be used in collaboration with spoon feeding the crop with a subsurface drip system. So we had treatments of irrigation level. Our standard at that time was furrow irrigation. It was hard to intersperse sprinkler-irrigated and subsurface drip-irrigated treatments in this study. Different levels of water then applied based on evapotranspiration potential. And then three N management strategies. Primarily applied pre-plant, primarily applied through the drip irrigation system, both of those based on soil test pre-planned N rates. And then a reactive system where we used a sensor to trigger when we would reach a critical level at which we would start to fertigate. This is data then from 2005. The x-axis is time during the growing season. The left y-axis is the relative chlorophyll level. In this case, instead of a canopy sensor, we were using a chlorophyll meter. So we went out and by hand sensed these plots on a weekly basis. Our trigger point was 95% of our reference. So once we reached that point with our treatments, that would say we're getting to the point that we need to apply nitrogen fertilizer or we're going to start to reduce our yield potential. The right y-axis is the amount of N that we applied in our respective treatments, and these are the bars then on the bottom. So going through the growing season, we started collecting data at the seven-leaf stage, continued that on until we reached or approximated physiological maturity. At about the nine-leaf stage, with all of our water level treatments, we reached or approached our trigger level, so that prompted application of nitrogen fertilizer. And for our two higher levels of water, that there is a lag effect, the response to the crop, even though the fertilizer is being injected right in the root zone, takes a little time to be expressed in the canopy. So we continued our treatments in terms of application. We did see, except for the lowest water level, eventually, in a reasonable time, the canopy expressed nitrogen status going back above the trigger level. So in 2005, these are the yield results that we saw from that. We did see a significant effect of water level on our on yield, but no significant effect of our in treatment strategies in terms of grain yield. We did see slight differences, though, in the amount of N that we applied. So the reactive treatment using the chlorophyll meter to trigger based on these on the canopy status of N used slightly less nitrogen fertilizer than our soil test-based pre-planned treatments. 2006, we repeated those studies back on the same plots. Somewhat earlier response to our application of N, so that we, with most of our water levels, we saw fairly good response in terms of canopy content of chlorophyll. We continued fertilizer applications up until just after tassel stage. In 2006, we were on track for just ideal response, we believed. But in August 2006, we had a significant infestation of southern rust, and basically that wiped out our treatment effects. All of our treatments yielded the same. And basically a trend in this particular year for a little higher N rates with a reactive treatment. So this is an early precursor study to something we would like to expand and continue in more detail, again using crop canopy sensors instead of the chlorophyll meter in future studies. And then finally, a last study that we just wrapped up this last year and is continuing in an expanded year in 2014. A regional study looking at how we would use recommendation strategies, in this case primarily comparing a model-based approach to a canopy sensor-based approach. We had some other parameters in terms of hybrid differences and plant populations. But for the sake of this talk, I'll focus on the comparison of the model, which is MAIZEN, developed in Nebraska, to a canopy sensor-based approach of in-season, in-application. The study was conducted in Missouri, Nebraska on irrigated sites, and North Dakota on rain-fed sites. Again, a fairly busy graph, so I'll outline the top graph here as the in-application rate for either our model or our sensor-based approaches for our sites across both years, 2013-2012. In most cases, we had a pre-plant application rate of 50 to 75 kilograms of N per hectare, and then the additional N that's applied using either the model or the sensor in season to achieve our yield potential. The bottom two graphs are the grain yield that resulted from those treatments for 2012 and 2013. I want to highlight two situations. One is this site in Nebraska in 2012. The model or the sensor-based approach said once we got to the nine-leaf stage, there was no need for additional fertilizer. And based on that, we followed that recommendation and we found that our yields were not affected by that lack of application. This reflected a high level of early season mineralization and no need for additional fertilizer. So the sensors accounted for that early season mineralization and predicted, and accurately so, we did not need any extra fertilizer. Another situation, though, is where the model suggested we needed significantly more in-season N than the sensor-based approach. This is a Missouri site, and in fact that did turn out to be the case, that the model predicted that there was abnormally high potential for yield at this site, more so than what the sensors could pick up. And in this case, the sensor treatment underperformed relative to the prediction model. This last figure illustrates that when we look at nitrogen use efficiency relative to what I talked about earlier, around 65 kilograms of grain per kilogram of N, with a sensor-based approach, we're generally exceeding 100 kilograms of N or grain per kilogram of N. So much more efficient in terms of fertilizer application. The downside is that profitability can in some cases be reduced. That's what's reflected in this last figure. Any of the data in the left portion of this figure is suggesting that our yields were reduced slightly relative to the optimal N rate, primarily using the sensor-based approach. The model approach tended to protect yield and gain a slight amount of increased profit. So to summarize, we do see that we are seeing historic trends of increasing end-use efficiency, which might be plateauing. Sensor-based application can often reduce end rates compared to traditional management, but we do need to have algorithms that are sensitive to local conditions, and that we have to recognize that water and end management are coupled. I think that with that I will stop, and I'm assuming I'm out of time for questions. So thank you very much.